بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي، السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري، صاحب الوقار والسكينة، المدفون بالمدينة، العبد المؤيد، الرسول المسدد، المصطفى الأمجد، المحمود الأحمد، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected audience, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات.
Dear brothers and dear sisters, continuing the journey that we had started in exploring and trying to find out about the one who we worship, trying to get to know the most precious in our lives, examining in light of the verses of the Holy Quran, being guided through the path of the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, the silent ones being the Quran and the manifested ones being Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. They go hand in hand, tied together. We cannot take one and leave the other. Once we touch upon one to truly understand it, we will need the other. Having said this, in the previous nights we've been exploring the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and knowing further what it means to say He is the All-Knowing. Which brought us to the discussion of what it means that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Creator of all things. For when we talk about one who is all living, and when we talk about one who is all knowing, and when we talk about one who is all able, we ought to realize none other than Him would be the independent Creator. If we then come to realize that He is the Creator of all things, at all levels and any levels, it all goes back to Him, to Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, realizing this and knowing that He is the originator and He is from which everything emanates, then we ought to realize about Him as a creator and us as recipient of this creation. What does this mean in detail? Why? For everything in our lives is an action. At any and all levels, even our thoughts. And this issue, dear respected brothers and sisters, is of such importance that many take it for granted and do not reflect on its depth. If you realize any thought, any idea, any breath, any all is but a creation. Whatever is, and what becomes to be a thing, is nothing but a what? A creation. Sometimes, our minds cultivated ourselves to think that what we touch is a thing. What we can conceive with our senses is an it. But in reality, whatever is conceived, even the thought in the mind, is a creation. Having said that, the vast amount of creations, look at each and every one of you right now. Your minds might be with me, or you might be scattered. Or the thoughts in your mind might be competing to take focus of you. But all of them are creation of your mind. Your mind is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And even the thoughts in your mind would not be created if Allah Azza wa Jal did not will for it to be created. Imagine each and every one of you how many thoughts per instant, I don't want to say per second is too much of a time. Per instant. You know when someone tells you, I think at the speed of thought, how fast is this? It's not terabytes, it's not the gigabytes, it's not even fiber, it's amazing. The speed of thought. And each and every one of us are thinking. Not only that, people outside, people sleeping, people awake. When you exist, you're creating. And that creation is in reality and origin Allah's creation. How much of it can be hosted by intelligence? Let me explore this statement. Now, science and technology, we see how much it can process through the different processors. Intel is creating, AMD is creating, and we try to get the best CPUs, the best laptops, the best computers. Why? How much can they process at the simultaneously? And they have more processes sitting together, so the board itself can handle. In reality, though, they can only process at the bottom line one command at a time. Right or wrong? I don't care how. At the end, it takes one, puts out. In and out, in and out, in and out. But they try to put many together simultaneously. And then how you process it on the board, how the information like the highways can take in and out. They try to develop this technology, but still what? Gigabytes, terabytes, how much can... At the end of the day, you'll find there is limitation. How much is Allah Azza wa Jal? I use this word, although it's not polite, it's not appropriate, not polite. It's not appropriate to use it with Allah. How much is there to process? The gazillions, as they say, the terabytes of data. That is why this intelligence that keeps this harmony between every creation, its thoughts, and everything that it comes with it. I mean, let's just calculate a little bit here. My processes inside of my body. How many millions and trillions, I don't know how many actions are being taken in my body as I'm just talking to you. How many of them? In the millions, right? And I address you and my mind. So my mind is thinking these creations. My actions are all creations. So many millions of creations are happening at every instant. Why? Because for me to even exist, for all of this to happen, Allah is emanating that existence. So He's creating at every instant, He is creating everything. That is why He is the all-knowing, all-intelligence. When you start thinking, how much of it can you capture? That's why a true understanding of this process will get you to sincerely realize Allah's power. When you come to realize that, you say, Subhanallah. Everything you sabbihu bihamdik, everything glorifies Allah. Everything. Everything in the creation. Every atom. Every existence. Okay. How does this creation come to being? How? We know Allah knows everything. We settled that. But how is it, whatever is it that we see comes to existence? I want us tonight to discuss this in details. Why? Let me first discuss why is it important to discuss it. Have you ever intended to do something really good? You know, you said to yourself, this Shahr Ramadan, I will start praying the night of night prayers, Salatul Layl. Or this Shahr Ramadan, I will read the entire Holy Quran. Or this Shahr Ramadan, I'm going to give this much to the poor. Or. Shahr Ramadan starts. First, in your mind, what have you done? You created the thought of what you want to do. But Shahr Ramadan comes, and the first night, you break your fast, and you're thinking, here's what I want to do. You know, I promised myself, think with me very carefully, this is very important. I tell myself before breaking the fast, the first night, I plan to start reading the Holy Quran. Let's focus on the Holy Quran. In order for me to read it, I have to at least recite one juz every single night. So now what am I doing? The idea of reading the Quran is established in my mind. What am I doing now? I am talking about the details. So it's not just an idea, a thought of reading. No, now, how am I going to make this what happen? Have I already done it? Did I already read the Quran? Yes or no? See, I'm going to ask you, because if you answer wrong, I'll go back and repeat it. Alright? So keep up with me. So now, at Futur time, I'm eating the first night, and you know what happens to us the first night. We're so hungry, we start eating, water, food, sweets, all of this and that. My mind already decided, inshallah, after Futur, what will I do? I will open the book, and I decided to read one juz. My mind can even go in further detail, say, you know what, I'll start with Surah Al-Fatiha, and probably the juz is within Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay. Now, there are two people, me and my friend. We both decided this, and we both thought of the details, and we both ate the futur together. Now, but I'll be the good guy. I did not eat as much as he did. Okay? So I'm all energetic, I'm all ready, but what happens to him? He's like, Sayyid, you know what? Start with the recitation. What I'm going to do, he said, look at the mind. What is his mind saying? Sayyid, you know what? I want to read two juzuk tonight. I want to finish the Quran twice. Really, I tell him. I'm like, man, I wanted to read it more, but it's okay. He said, yeah, I want to read it twice, so let me gather my strength. I'm going to take a nap for an hour. And after the nap, I wake up, I have more energy to read two juz instead of one. I said, no. You do what you do, I'll do what I do. Can I ask you a question? Did any of us actually yet read the Quran? Let me ask you this. Did any of us yet deserve the reward of reading the Quran? We differ here. Some say yes, some say no. We'll address it later, but keep that in mind. Now, I finished the food, he went to sleep, he's snoring, and what am I doing? I start reading Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What is my intention? I want to read the one juz. I took the Quran, I finished my food, took the Quran. Now, what am I doing here? When I open and decide to read, and I pull the Quran and decide to read, now, what is being exercised? My will is acting now. My will is happening. But my will, as it opens the Quran to read, this is very critical. First, I had the thought. Then, I proportioned what I prepped it in my mind. Then, I willed for it to happen where I opened the Quran. Now, comes a very critical part. Listen to me attentively. If you haven't listened any of the nights before, that's fine. Start right now. Let's start with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I can say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim and stop. Did I read the juz' that I wanted in the first idea? I can read Bismillahirrahmanirrahim and all the way to Waladdallin. Did I finish it all the way to that, what I want, all the way? Okay. What I'm trying to tell you, I have many options. This stage in my action is called the portions or the options. I can stop at any point from Bismillah all the way to the last of the juz. I can stop in the middle at the first verse, second verse, third, fourth, fifth, in the middle of the third, fourth of the verse. I have many, many options. How many options do I have? Millions and millions. Let me examine this further because I want you to understand this. Why do I say I have many options? I can start B and stop. Bis and stop. Bismi and stop. Bismillah and stop. Bismillahir. Aren't these all options? Those who studied probability or statistics will understand. All these are options. And what I could say, it's not only that. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You know what? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil. You know what? Bismillah. I'm someone who has a lot of waswas. I keep on repeating the verse. Isn't this an option or no? Oh, furthermore, Bismillah. You know, I want some water. Let me go grab some water. Bismillah. You know, my back is. Let me just walk and go back and read. Aren't these options that could happen? Oh my God, so you tell me we have endless numbers of options. Right or wrong? Wonderful. Did I yet finish reading what the idea was in the beginning? Okay. Now, when I say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, I picked an option of these. Since I actually picked it, once I acted on my will and picked an option, what happened? It became qada. It's not an option anymore. I picked it. Once I completed and ended, it became imdha. When I had the options, it was aqdar or qadar. When I acted on it, it was irada or will. When I was thinking of the details, it was mashi'ah. And when I intended, it was al-ilm. That is why the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi afdhal salatu wassalam, inna Allah alima wa sha'a wa arada wa qaddara وَقَضَى وَأَمْضَى عَلِمَ شَاءَ أَرَادَ قَدَّرَ وَقَضَى وَأَمْضَى فَأَمْضَى مَا قَضَى وَقَضَى مَا قَدَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ مَا أَرَادَ وَأَرَادَ مَا شَاءَ فَبِعِلْمِهِ Through his knowledge was the mashi'ah. It through the mashi'ah was the will. It through the will was the qadr. It through the qadr was the qada. And then, through the qada, there was the imda. Now, let's talk about it. Now we started talking tonight. Are you ready to explain these further? If you're bored, I can skip the topic. Because by the way, I'm still building for one answer. If Allah created everything, and amongst the things that we do is that we sin, and Allah created it, does that mean, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, it's not us who's sinning, it's we're being forced into it. Tied hands, I'm sorry. Wallah, I wish I did not want to sin, but God willed it. I had nothing to do with it. It makes sense. God willed it. I had nothing to do with it. So now, if I kill, if I do haram, if I backbite, it's Allah's qada and qadar. By the way, let me make this more real to you, to all of you. I know each and everyone will be touched by this. Isn't it? In most cultures, 99%, all cultures do this. Have you ever seen a very sad married man or woman? Why are you so scared here? Everyone's like, we're on camera. I'm the only one they can see right now, so don't worry about it. When someone is having such hardships, and you know, the relationship is so bad, and what do they say? Oh, don't worry, it was destined for you. It was written right here on your forehead. Right? Do you have this in your culture or not? Anything? Oh, it was destined. God has written this for you. So what? Be miserable. Don't have to solve a problem. The guy beats up his wife. Oh, it's okay. Be patient. What do you mean be patient? He has to change. No. It was destined that you have a miserable husband. Or, no, the worst part, when the wife yells at her husband. See, now you're telling us, oh, Sayyid, hold on. We're talking about theology and God. Now you take us to husband and wife. What's up with this? Because this explains that. When the wife starts yelling, screaming, acting ill, or when the husband also, I want to take the good side of the woman here. Or when the husband acts ill and bad towards his wife, when they go to the family, what do they say? Allah, you know, Allah, I wish I can change. I can't. It's in Allah's hand. I have nothing to do with it. Is it? See, you cannot say, no, it's not in Allah's hand. It is in Allah's hand. But does that mean you cannot do nothing about it? Why do we pull this card whenever we want? Because if it's all in Allah's hand and we have nothing to do with it, what does that mean? I don't have to change. If I don't have to change, hold on, then why is there a prophet and the imams and the Holy Quran? Why was it all given to us? I am who I am. I don't want to change. I'm done. It's all in God's hands. See, it all is summarized in one word. When I say, it is all in God's hands. What does it mean? Does it mean I have nothing to do with it? Does it mean, no. Let me ask you this question. I need you to think about this a little bit. Sallu ala Muhammad. See what I do? I drink water so you can think. It's like saying, you know, I do the act, but God is the one who's there. But let's talk, let's ask this. When are we totally free to do what we wish? What do you think? The concept of freedom. The reason why I bring these issues and I put it before you is because I want you to learn one thing, dear brothers and sisters. And I am the first one who's learning from this. In Islam, and specifically in the school thought of Ahlul Bayt, السلام, I need you to take this from me and keep it, drill it in your minds. No concept is disconnected from the other concepts. All the principles are very well connected. And they all stem from one principle. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Your mind and every principle that you come up with needs to be rooted where? In ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. If you examine a thought and you find the thought is not rooted in ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ax that thought. Completely take it out. Am I completely free? Freedom. A true, absolute freedom means what? What do you think? It means true, absolute independency. Right or wrong? But are we completely independent? No, we are dependent. As a matter of fact, our essence says that we are what? Dependent. So, if someone comes and tells you, listen man, you're completely free to do whatever you want. Tell them, no, I don't believe in that. But does it mean that we are absolutely with no choice? No, that doesn't mean that. Let me give you an example. If I were, or any of us, to leave this place here, can we leave any way we want? Can I say right now, I want to just leave and poof, I disappear and I'm out of this place? I'm not going to claim, yes I can, so don't worry about that. The matter of fact is, I either go through that door, third door, or fourth door. Is there any hidden doors in the back here? There's one there? Okay. So how many options do I have? Five options. 5 options. Where does that fall in my decision making? In the qadr. The qadr is the options that you have. Either there, 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 and there. Let me ask you though. So what does it mean? It means I have freedom within my options to choose. That's my freedom. But at the end of the day, I am limited to what? To the options that I have. I don't care what you are, who you are, you only live with options. No, none of us comes absolutely free. Only Him, Allah Azza wa Jal, is the absolute free, because He is absolutely independent. Now, let's examine this a little bit further. Do I really only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 options to leave this place? Do I have 5 options only? What do you think? Yes or no? Yes? Alright. See, let's take one option over there. I can go from here and straight. I can take another route like this and walk. I just want to walk in the middle and then go there. And then I can also walk this way and go there. I can go all the way around. And every time I make a slight change, isn't this making a different option? Furthermore, every time changes, is a different option. So how many options do I have to even leave from here to there? How much? What? Millions, yet infinite options. Infinite those, they're what? They're really finite. They're infinite within their finiteness. Good so far? Nice. Now let me ask you. Who is making the decision? If I am, I have only these highways, these options, these ways. Are these ways me who created them? Or they were given to me? So this means what? Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who created everything. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? He has given us all these options. Subhanallah, each and every one of us has millions of options. That's why He is intelligence, period. He is all intellect. He is all knowing. I don't want you to even think the word intellect sometimes might give an indication that there is dependency in it. No, no, no. Allah is independent. His knowledge is pure, independent knowledge. I want to drill the thought of independence about Allah Azza wa Jalla in everything we do. So now, I have all these options. Then let me ask you, look at my hand. When I moved it, was this an option or not? So, the movement itself, who's emanating, who's giving me the existence in every single instant as I move it within the options that were given me? Who? So Allah given me the knowledge of it. Allah given me the ability of preparedness. Allah also given me the ability to choose among the options. So far, who has done everything? Where do I fall in the equation here? Within the options, within the knowledge, within the portions, the decision is mine to pick and choose. I make the choice. Do I do it, even the choice, depending on Allah or independent of Allah? What's that? Independent? Dependent on Allah. Does that mean Allah doesn't know of it or knows of it? but his knowledge of it is not why you chose it. It's why it happens.
Okay?
So now, who's actually carrying the action? You are Allah. The reality, the reality of the action, it's all from Allah. But in reference to us, we're the ones who's carrying the option. We're the ones who's choosing. We are the ones who are carrying our actions within what Allah has created for us. So far, so good. And by the way, I will be talking in more examples. Tonight is not the end of it, because this is pivotal to understanding the night of power. Because this is important in understanding intercession and wasila. Wasila and shafa'ah are important. And without understanding wasila, there is no night of power for you. I'm building one block at a time. This kind of information, this kind of knowledge, take it with patience. So now, when someone see, why do we discuss these issues? Some people talk about our imams, alayhim salam, like Imam Hussein, salamullahi ta'ala alayhi. Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. Did he know when he was going to Karbala what will happen to him? Why do you say yes? Here's my question. You say yes because you know, or because yes because you heard someone else say yes? There's a difference. It's a difference. I say yes because someone else told me, and I become like, okay, you say right, I say right. Tomorrow someone else comes, and someone with a looks good, with this charisma and start, no, you should say this. Okay, then we change. See, our minds should know. And what we know should be a result of our thinking. Not because we blindly, whatever say, stand, we stand, sit, we sit. No, when it comes to belief and aqidah, you have to think about it. When it comes to fiqh, do you think about it? Yes, you think. You need to put a lot of thinking in the issues of fiqh. How? You have to pick the most knowledgeable, qualified person, because your mind tells you the ignorant follows the knowledgeable. And the ones who doesn't know follows the one who knows. And the layman follows the expert. And this is what we do. Like in the way we go to the best doctor when we have a medical issue, to the best lawyer when we have a legal issue, to the best financial expert when we have an issue with money, we also go, when we need our ahkam, we go to the most knowledgeable in the area of fiqh and usul, that they can give us the answer to everything else in regards to transactions. So don't think that just because in fiqh or medicine or others, oh, I have to... No, you're not following blindly. You thought about it. You put the time and effort. And then you went after the most knowledgeable. And this is now we go to the issue of the options. If we have all these options, dear brothers and sisters, and I will talk about it tomorrow in more details, let me ask you this question. I applied for medical school. See, now I want to interact two ideas. The idea of options and thoughts and all of this, and Allah's knowledge. I applied for medical school, let's say. I did everything I did. I took the exam, and now, I come home, and I see an envelope from my medical school with the results, or the MCAT actually, and the results of the exam. My question to you is this. Does it matter what I do at this point? The letter has what? The results. Obviously, I don't care if I pray 100 rak'at, if I read the Holy Quran, all of it, if, does anything matter to the result that's in this envelope anymore? Obviously what? Actually it does. Why? Let's say before I opened the envelope, I said, you know what? Whatever it is, let me submit to Allah and say Alhamdulillah. And I prayed like 2 rak'at, 10 rak'at, 100 rak'at, read the ziyarah, read this, read that. Let me ask you a question. Did Allah know you're going to do this or not? If He did He not factor it in the result or not? So never say it's useless anymore. Good? See how we're linking Allah has knowledge in everything here? If at the last moment everything shuts in your way you think life is dark, it's done, is it ever done? If you believe, it's never done. Why? Because nothing goes unaccounted for. In the deepest part of your heart, if you say, Ya Allah, that Ya Allah, He knew of it. In His infinite, eternal knowledge, He knew that you will say, Ya Allah. In that Ya Allah, He had hidden your solution. Should you ever give up? I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you did. I don't care who is it. It does not matter. All you have to say, Ya Allah. Now, what if you know, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali. You know the value of Ya Allah, what it means then? You approached Ya Allah from Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali. This will continue in the following nights. Maybe it'll create some interest. I know this might be boring, but so we'll create some interest a little bit more. Does it matter now what you do and how you believe about Allah or no? Does it matter or not? Ya uddati عند shiddati. يا رجائي عند مصيبتي يا مؤنسي عند وحشتي يا صاحبي عند غربتي. I want you to listen to these verses. Why? Of the dua. يا عدتي عند شدتي. O provider in my hardship. يا رجائي عند مصيبتي. O source of hope in my misfortune. Ya munisi inda wahshati. O companion in my isolation. Ya sahibi inda ghurbati. O fellow traveler in my journey. Ya wali inda ni'mati. O friend in my ease. Ya ghiathi inda kurbati. O rescuer from my trials. Ya dalili inda hayrati. O guide in the times of my misguidance. Ya ghanai inda iftiqari. O resource in my neediness. Ya maljai inda attirari. O shelter in my helplessness. Ya mu'ini inda mafza'i. O deliver from my fears. Subhanaka ya la ilaha illa ant. Al-ghawth al-ghawth. Khallisna minanna. Dear brothers and sisters, why are these names? They bring sorrow. They bring sadness. For it reminds me of Lady Zainab. When she was all alone, when she had to bear everything after what happened to Imam Hussein. Ya uddati inda shiddati. يا رجائي عند مصيبتي. What other مصيبة and misfortune. يا مؤنسي عند وحشتي. When Lady Zainab عليها السلام, imagine when she came back to the city of Medina. Imagine when she came back with the woman and children. Imagine when she entered the mosque of Prophet Muhammad. Imagine when she stood before the grave of Prophet Muhammad. What did she say? Jaddah, oh grandfather, wa jaddah, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'oon. What else Lady Zainab had to say to her grandfather, Jaddah? I left Medina with Hussein. Now I come back with the woman and the children. You know, one instant they say, a very grieving instant, when Lady Zainab met with whom? With Umm al-Baneen. They both lost someone. You know, as Umm al-Baneen approached to hug Zainab, what did she call? She said, Bunay Hussein, O son Hussein. What did Zainab alayha salam answer? Akhoy, brother, who is she calling? Akhoy Abbas, Akhoy Abbas. Oh, brother Abbas. It brings memory for Lady Zainab. When she saw Abbas alayhi salam laying on the land of Karbala, Khoya Abbas, jibitni min al-Madina, you brought me from Medina, Abbas, wake up, take me back, don't leave me here alone in Karbala. Alaytana kunna ma'a كم عباس يا عباس وعباس وحسين.
وصلى الله على رسوله محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين صلوات.
توجه زيارتي.